More than 90% of American men believe in God, and 5 out of 6 call themselves Christians. But only 2 out of 6 attend church on a given Sunday.
That's Tom Fortson. He's CEO of Promise Keepers. Remember them? He was speaking at the Promise Keepers headquarters yesterday about men staying away from church and men not becoming involved in their local Christian congregations. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We've got open lines for the next 40 minutes, the first 40 minutes of the program today. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be discussing that topic, why men are staying away from church. I want to know what you think about it. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. So why do you think men are staying away from church? If you're a man staying away from church, why do you stay away? Why does your wife have to more or less force you, cajole you, talk you into going when you do go? Or, for that matter, if you've got a husband, why do you think he stays away? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The few that do go, and those numbers of men who are going to church nowadays are getting fewer and fewer. We're talking about the ratio of women to men, 6 to 4 in the average Sunday morning service. Why aren't they more involved? They go to church, but that's it. And then they go home. Do you have an explanation for this? Promise Keepers thought they did about 10, 15 years ago. And they've been around for 10 or 15 years, applying their particular solution to the problem of men not going to church and not being involved. Doesn't sound like it's working. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So what's your answer to the problem of why men don't go to church? And the ones that do are very, very sparsely involved in the church. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I know if you want to call and talk about pastor, talk about hubby, or wife, you might want to call in anonymously, so feel free to do that as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, if the sociologists who study this stuff are to be believed, the ratio of women to men is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. More women, less men. More women, less men on Sunday morning. Do you have an explanation for it? How do you stop it? Everyone acknowledges it. We've talked with guest after guest who have various explanations. Leon Pottle says it's the general feminization of the church that's been taking place for over 1,000 years. Promise Keeper says, well, these men need to have more of a bond with, we need to talk to men and make promise keepers out of them and give them promises that they can keep. But that's been 15 years in the works, and does your local congregation still have a Promise Keepers chapter? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. After our conversation with you about the loss of men in the church, and we've got some other things to share with you here during Open Lines, Dr. Martin Nolan's going to join us, a regular guest on the program. He's director of the Concordia Historical Institute. You might have seen this in the paper, Corned Beef on Friday. No problem. I thought it was a problem, but apparently it isn't. Catholics get permission to break the no-meat rule on St. Patrick's Day. That was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We're going to find out exactly what's going on here. Why is eating meat on Fridays prohibited among Roman Catholics or discouraged among Roman Catholics? And what does it mean that both our archbishop, the one on the other side, the bishop on the other side of the river, and a couple others across the nation have decided to say on St. Paddy's Day, corned beef is A-OK. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be spending some time with Sandra Ostapowicz in the second hour of the program, talking about women in the Scriptures. She has written a very interesting essay titled, Women and the Scriptures, What Does God Really Say? And then we will spend 5 to 5:30 in the third hour of the program with Dr. Peter Berger talking about Lutheranism in a postmodern culture. He's from Boston University. And the last half hour of Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Listen carefully. We'll be playing some of those sound bites in the course of today's program as we work up towards sound bite of the week, where you pick your sound bite of the week. Let's go to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And let's start with Phil, who calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hi. I heard some discussion on another radio station about a month ago on this, and they had an expert on there. And he said that men don't feel like they can measure up. Like, women can excel in some of the church things, singing, things like this, and they just don't feel like they measure up, and so they leave. Another thing, they said that that in one particular church, they had men coming in a room praying, and they would show up for a little bit and then not, and so they asked them, so what's going on? And they wanted to redecorate the room. So he said, all right, let's redecorate the room, and they redecorated it with, swords and armor and things like this, and they said it made a difference where now they always show up and they feel more manly, and, you know, but something about not feeling manly enough and looking at the pastors, and they look kind of weak, and they can't follow a man that's kind of weak and meek and mild.
So what do you make of that, Phil?
You know, I studied on it for a while, thinking about it, but what I see personally is men work 6 days a week now. They have to keep up with all their toys, and they want a day off. They want to go out and ride their motorcycle or something like this, and it seems like that is more of a reason. They just get lazy, or, you know, time things, sports, you know, whatever it is. And the other things, I'm not real sure. I know that, you know, men don't like to be hugged at first. I mean, you know, just freshly coming into a church, you know, there's a lot of churches that hug and embrace you and get real close, and that kind of scares men away.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. So, very interesting experience there, Phil told us about. Is that the solution? If you're going to have men in, put some swords, maybe some shields and old medieval armor on the wall of the church and make them feel more manly. Maybe the pastor. If the problem is that the pastor seems too effeminate to the men in church, maybe put the pastor in armor. No, that's probably not a good idea. Can't have him clanking up all across the stage like that all the time. Might seem weird. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So what's your solution to the lack of male attendance and involvement in the church? Our call-in numbers, it's open lines. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It is already, well, that can't be. It's already the 16th of March. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, feel free to use that as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's hear again from the CEO of Promise Keepers. It's Tom Fortson with some statistics on the issue of men and church.
More than 90% of American men believe in God, and 5 out of 6 call themselves Christians. But only 2 out of 6 attend church on a given Sunday.
So that's pretty startling. 90% believe in God. That doesn't tell you much. I mean, that could be anything. 5 out of 6 are Christians, or at least consider themselves Christians. They self-identify as Christians, which is the pollers' term for they think they are, but we don't know what they are. And then only 2 out of 6, that's the hardest data we have, only 2 out of 6 of all men in the U.S. attend church. What do you think the reason for that is? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. There are people who are positing reasons for this. Here's Stan Perea of his ministries. He says some churches are becoming, well, too issue-driven for many men.
We have wound up in this country with a church that is a Democrat church called the Mainline Denominations and a Republican church called the Evangelical Church. And people are leaving both of these churches for much the same reason that they're refusing to vote.
Do you think that's the solution? That we have issue-driven churches, churches that have organized around issues, and since they have, men are being driven out or being attracted in for the same reason that they would go to the polling station or decide not to vote. The issues don't resonate with them. Think about it. If you're a voter and none of the issues before you as a voter make any difference to you at all, you probably don't vote, right? And so that is one of the solutions. That's one of the explanations being offered. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Alvin Simpkins of Denver's Emmanuel Christian Center, he says men at his church are motivated by high expectations.
I demand a lot of them. We ask them to get up every Monday morning at 5:30 and come to a prayer time and a Bible study.
Okay, is that the solution to this problem? This church, the problem is the church just made it too easy on men, and men respond to high expectations, to a few rules and requirements, and so the men in his church have high attendance because they have high expectations. They're expected to be there at the Bible study. They're expected, they're held accountable for what they do. Do you think that'll solve the problem of fewer and fewer men in church on Sunday morning? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, Phil raised a couple issues. He said one of them is men find the pastor uncomfortably unmanly. They don't relate to him. Do you think that's it? He also mentioned that, at least in his experience, men don't like all the hugging that goes on in church. They're uncomfortable with that. I mean, I have to admit, I'm not a big hugger. If I went to a church where all of a sudden they were all clinging on me, I probably would sneak in the back door or find someplace else to go. I don't mind if my wife or my children hug me. My dad, my mom, that's all fine and good. Even my brothers. I want to hear from both men and women on this issue. Men, why do you think men aren't going to church? Women, why do you think men aren't going to church? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, this is James Ryle of TruthWorks. He says that some churches are no longer relevant.
They're not leaving Christ. They're not leaving faith. They're not leaving truth. They're not leaving scripture. They're not leaving commitment. They're not leaving community. They're just leaving the game.
That's an odd way to put it, but this is why men are going. Not because of what the church teaches, not because of what the church is. They're just leaving the game. So why are Christian churches, if this is true, why are Christian churches irrelevant to men? Why do many men consider many churches irrelevant to them? You walk in, Phil had mentioned something there. Men are busy. They got a lot of time. They got a lot of time taken up during the week. So Sunday morning's going to have to mean something to them beyond just keeping the wife happy. Why do you think many Christian churches are considered irrelevant by men? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Feel free to call us anonymously. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Open lines, issues, etc. We go next to New Jersey, where Chris is listening. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well.
As I was listening to you on the matter, and as the director of a church, I can tell you that one of the reasons that so many men do not have any part of the life of the church is that the gospel that they're hearing, or the version of the gospel they're hearing, is really not the gospel at all. It's not a gospel that demands that they pick up their cross and follow Christ. It's a religious expression that would be more akin to the theology of Barney the Purple Dinosaur as opposed to the theology of the Bible.
Thank you very much, Chris. Okay, so the gospel, and here we need to, I think what Chris means is the gospel in its broadest sense, the good news message, the message of the church, too fluffy, too sweet, too saccharine, too much like I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, the old Barney theme song, right? Sean calls from West Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Very well.
Here's the thing, you know, you say with the majority of Christians, you know, how many of them are actually Christians, and, you know, they call themselves Christians, but they're actually Christians. I think that the same thing happens with the church. How many churches out there say they're a church and aren't actually a church? You know, show me a good church to go to, and I'll go to it.
Have you found yourself in the position, Sean, of being one of those men who finds it difficult to to go to church?
In what way?
What's that?
In what way?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, do you consider yourself among those men who have kind of turned off by the church?
Absolutely.
All right. What has turned you off in the past about the church where you say, oh, give me a break, that's not for me?
The whole issue of what's, the whole issue of the critiquing the sermons on, because I find very few that have anything relevant, even among Lutheran churches now. The Lutheran churches are few and far between down here. The whole idea of find a lot of power-hungry people in church. You can't use the church facility for this or that because we don't want you to.
Hmm.
That's just what I've encountered throughout everything, and people that are just a very selfish lot of people. Not to say that I realize sinners go to church, and we're not supposed to. We're supposed to go to church not because of who's there, but because of what happens there. But it comes to the point where what's supposed to happen there doesn't happen there because there's no unity among the people.
Sean, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening down there in Florida. We always appreciate those who listen on the Internet. All right, for Sean, it has to do with, he mentioned our sermon critiques, what he's hearing. This is the point where I think, I'll just give you this is my own opinion on this, but I think it's fairly well-informed. And it's based largely on kind of my own experience. I wrote about this, in fact, not too long ago in the Issues Etc. Journal, an article called Churches for Girls, about that moment, or actually it usually stretches into many moments, that period of time at the beginning of many worship services where there's the music and the swaying and the dancing. And I said in the article that many men who sit through the 20 minutes of preliminary warm-up music in a worship service, the praise stuff, are performing the spiritual equivalent of waiting for their wives while she tries on a dress. You ever seen a man outside the waiting room in the women's section? Especially when there's no place to sit, no chair? I just wish they'd put chairs outside there so I can sit outside the dressing room. But when there's no chair, look at these poor men. They're standing there. You can't lean on anything. You're leaning on like a rack of bras or something like that. You can't look at anything because you can't wear any of it. And your wife is in there trying on the dress, and you are just basically kind of suffering through it until she's done. I mean, there are many men who won't even go shopping with their wives. And I think it's a rough parallel to what happens on Sunday morning. A man walks into church, and he's confronted with what he considers to be girly stuff. And he may suffer through it uncomfortably. But he doesn't do it happily. And if you went into a service like that, where many of the men are doing this, and I just would like to try this sometime, walk into the service, just momentarily interrupt the praise music and say, guys, there's a football game on in the next room. I could reduce the congregation by half. Or, guys, there's anything else in the world happening in the next room besides this. They'd be like, honey, you just wait here. I'm going to go see. I don't know what it is, but the guy says there's something happening over there. I don't know what it is. I may be back. I may not. All right, so far we've heard from three men on why men don't go to church. I mean, that's my explanation. Take it for what it's worth. Let's hear from some of the women. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I mean, am I wrong? Now, there are other matters of what the church I go to has an inordinate amount of men in it. I don't know why that is. Now, we have a more traditional and historic form of worship. And it may be an explanation, it may not be an explanation. I'll tell you one thing, when we stand for the opening hymn, I don't feel like I'm performing the spiritual equivalent of waiting for my wife while she tries on a dress. That's just me. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So we've had a couple explanations. One of our callers says, look, it has to do with men not being comfortable with the – sometimes there's a lot of affection in church. Or maybe it's the fact that church just doesn't live up to your expectations. Or the message. The message just does not strike me as a man as relevant in any way. Isn't that amazing? There has been a push on to make the message of the church on Sunday morning relevant to people. And with that push, right alongside that push, the number of men in church on Sunday morning where the message is being made relevant, relevant, relevant every Sunday morning, the number of men is falling, falling, falling. You know, in Europe, it's unreal. In Europe, it's 8-2 on Sunday morning, women versus men. Is that where we're headed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, I can tell you why men aren't at the stamping it up parties. Or at the, what do they call it? Scrapbooking parties. The women in our family, we just recently went on a big family vacation. All the in-laws and everybody and the outlaws were all around. And the ladies talk about going to the scrapbooking parties. And we, the husbands, we're just the brothers, we're all brothers, sit quietly by and just, yeah, whatever. Now, I can tell you why men don't go to those. Does it have anything to do with why men don't go to church? Jack calls from O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Jack.
Good morning. I mean, afternoon. I'm 74 years old. I can't wait to get to Mass on Sunday to see this priest where I go to church. It's absolutely captivating. The man makes you feel so good. It's unbelievable. And I've noticed the equivalent of men and women in there. It's almost even. Plus, there's quite a few young people in there. They really take to this man. And this man, I would say, he's 65 or 70 years old, but it's not, it's like a small chapel. It's held at St. Charles at the hospital down there. And this man is absolutely wonderful. I can't wait to see him on Sunday morning. It's wonderful.
Why do you think men are, just by and large, contrary to your experience, Jack, why do you think men are staying away from church?
Oh, I don't know. This I'm not associated with a lot of other people. I just take to this man, and when he gets done talking about our Lord and other things, you come out of there, you feel so good. It's unbelievable.
Jack, thanks for the call. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to go straight to the phones, I promise you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, I go to church, and the man who stands in the pulpit where I attend church, I look at this guy and I say, there's a real man. There's a guy up there. That might make a difference, too. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
St. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and we of all men are most to be pitied. There is no more important truth than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us sinners. And it's never too early to begin teaching your children and grandchildren that truth. He is risen indeed is the name of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March. It's a children's book that tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order He is Risen Indeed for your child or your grandchild, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. He is Risen Indeed is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Now pray for the most densely populated country in the world. This global minute highlights Bangladesh and South Asia. More than 100 million people live in Bangladesh. About 88% of them are Muslims and nearly 10% are Hindus. The remaining small number of Christians comprise two different types of groups, the visible church and the invisible church. People who were formerly Muslims but embraced Christ as their Savior usually worship quietly or invisibly for fear of punishment from their families. But there's an attempt by other Bengali Christians to be more noticeable, including a website directory for churches and Christian businesses in Bangladesh. Pray Christ's message will spread throughout this country where few have ever heard a clear explanation of the gospel. Learn some of what Hindus and Muslims believe so you can pray more effectively and know how to present the gospel to them. Visit missionvisionnetwork.org, missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Francis Rosso is one of Concordia Seminary's memorable preachers. Years ago, he talked about a coffee mug someone had given him. The mug said, "Expect a miracle." You have to wonder, he mused, about what's in that coffee. Same way with ads for churches. Church of Miracles is how one local church promotes itself. Another says, "Come in so we can pray for your miracle." You have to wonder about truth in advertising. In The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard shows how instantaneous religious experiences have replaced the slow process of spiritual growth on the American scene. The slow process of spiritual growth has, he says, been replaced by either some ritual at a point in time, baptism, confirmation, or a type of decision like Billy Graham's meetings. Patrick Campert comments, "One of the problems with current contemporary Christianity is that every Sunday, churches are offering life-transforming experiences." When the Bible teaches, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling," it is not denying instantaneous experiences. They happen. Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to your house." The real question is, are you overlooking the miracle that has already come into your life? Are you savoring the old, old story of Jesus and his love? Are you finding that good to the last drop?
Across the United States, listeners are supporting Worldwide KFUO with generous contributions. In fact, the locations of just four of our kind donors span the nation like a virtual cross. See, there's Randy Donahue up at the top in Warren, Michigan, David Horn at the foot of the cross in Garland, Texas, Andrew Chuddy to the east in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and Robin Lee out west in Riverside, California. People just like you, clicking the Give Now button at KFUO.org.
Yo, Todd.
Yes.
The thing is that you've won. Everybody knows that abortion is a bad thing, that it's a wrong thing, it's a horrible thing, that it's a sin, probably. But you know what? We need to allow the freedom of choice that God gives us to be applied in this case.
Why is that?
God allows us to do the wrong thing, and abortion is a bad thing. It is a terrible, terrible thing. But taking away a woman's right to choose and a woman's freedom of choice is a bad thing.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It pushes it underground. It pushes it into the dark.
Let me ask you a question, Herb.
Dark ages.
Herb, a question for you.
Yes?
What other bad things do you think shouldn't be illegal?
No, we're not talking about other bad things. We are talking about abortion.
No, actually, I'm talking about other bad things, Herb.
The people with you for so long that now that you've won, you won't accept it.
All right, that's one of the candidates for Sound Bite of the Week. We're going to be playing it in about 2 hours here on Issues, Etc. That's caller Herb. He's just one of the prospective Sound Bites of the Week coming up in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. today. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is deeply concerned about training pastors who are not as concerned with trying to massage the message into relevancy, but simply preach it straight and true to both men and women. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, training men for Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry in the Church of the 21st Century. For more information about them, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. They're also at our website, issuesetc.org,
right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, back to your phone calls on why men dislike church, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In Juanita, Nebraska, listening on KNGN. Greg, welcome.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Greg.
I'm a pastor out here, and in my experience, well, first of all, when it comes to people trying to seek out their styles, whether there's a manly pastor or a feminine pastor, I think you can go to just about any church and find the type of flavor that you like of church. But I think one of the problems is that when it comes to people getting together in marriages, religion is not usually a big issue on whether or not they decide to get married.
Not anymore. No, you're right.
If you have a strong husband, strong religious husband, and a wife who's not so strong, I think he can draw her into the church. But if you have a strong religious woman with a non-Christian husband, I think she has a much more difficult time pulling him in.
There's no doubt about that.
So with all these marriages coming in, I think you may have committed men who may bring uncommitted wives to church, but it's much more difficult for committed wives to bring uncommitted husbands to church.
Greg, thanks. And thanks for listening up there in Nebraska as well. You know, I heard this statistic about 6 months ago that the greatest determining factor of whether children will grow up into adulthood to attend church on a regular basis is not whether or not mom took them to church, and not even whether they went to church as children. The greatest determining factor on whether or not a child will grow up to be a churchgoer is whether or not dad went to church. Mom can go to church, she can take the kids to church, but the most important factor is whether or not dad went to church. And it applies for families, too. Which might make you shake in your boots if you think about a ratio of women to men of 6-4 and getting greater and less and less men in church. If that statistic is to be believed, it means less and less of the next generation in church. All right, we still haven't heard from women on this issue. Come on, ladies. I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Call in anonymously if you need to. Charles calls from Florissant. Charles, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes. I'm going to soon be 80 years old. And I don't know exactly how I heard about this this thing you're talking about this about men, you know. But, you know, I count it a privilege since I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior as a young person. And I met my wife in church, and it's a privilege. Christ died for the church, and it's a family of believers in Jesus who shed his blood for me. And I count it a privilege to go every Sunday. I'm a Sunday school teacher. And I just count it a privilege. I magnified it at all about the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ we have. He died to save me from sin, my sin. And I'm just so privileged of the fact that I can be in church with my wife. And the church is our family. We're brought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone in that church, we have fellowship. And when we hear the message of what Jesus did for we who know Christ, what a wonderful privilege and a blessing.
Charles,
and he's preparing us to a place for us now. Oh, it's just wonderful to go to church and hear the precious gospel of Christ.
Well, Charles, there's no doubt that you are going to church for exactly the right reason. But when I hear you say that, that tells me Charles is going to church for the right reason. That's why everyone, men and women, ought to be going to church. Why do you think men more and more are staying away from church, Charles?
I have no idea. To me, I count it a privilege. And to me, I long for the message. I long to be with Lord. I can't understand that myself, and I'm very much of a man. I'm very much of a man. And I just love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I count it a privilege. It's a blessing to be able to go to church. I don't know why they're that way, but to me, church is a blessing. It's a privilege. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for me. And, you know, he was very much man as well as very much divine.
You're right, Charles. Thank you very much. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And by the way, congratulations on your upcoming 80th, Charles. So there's another man. We have heard from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think, men already here in this hour of issues, et cetera, on why men don't go to church, various explanations. And then, like in Charles' case, he can tell us why he goes. He gives an excellent reason why he goes, but he has no idea why men in general don't. What about you? And I want to hear from you women, too. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think it's just simply what I mentioned before? We have this kind of downward spiral of men not going and say, I go to church, and how much of that is determined by the fact that my dad was faithful every Sunday churchgoer and still is. But if you do, if you run the math on that, when I've got four brothers, now two of them still regularly go to church, not Lutheran, by the way, and the other two don't. So what do you think? Bill calls from his car. Yet another man. Bill, welcome.
Thank you. I don't church hop. I'm a member of the synod. But if what's being preached in most of the churches consists of 7 or 12 step programs, or how to be a better this or how to be a better that instead of the gospel, I'm not surprised why men don't find that appealing. To me, it seems like there's just a lack of substance.
Now, you've hit on a big thing there, Bill, and I agree with you that of all things that men are looking for, and these they may not even be able to articulate what they're looking for, but from everything I've read on this, they are looking for something substantial. They're looking for, which amazes me, because if you look at a church like Joel Osteen's church, where substance is non-existent, where you're talking about the preaching is literally a vapor that disappears with a puff of air. Lots of men in that congregation. Of course, lots of men, women, too. Bill, thank you very much for the call. All right, let's see what Paul has to say. He calls from his car. Paul, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thought I'd just give a couple reasons why I'm drawn to the church I attend, and then contrast that with experience I had recently at an evangelical church. I came out of evangelicalism several years ago. I was introduced to the Reformation through a Reformed, independent Reformed church I attend. We hold to the Westminster Confession, and strongly reformational, strong teaching. I was drawn to that. And a couple things, that every Sunday in the pulpit, no matter the text that my pastor preaches from, he manages to preach long gospel. He manages to preach the cross. Sunday night, Thursday night, deep studies in the scripture. Doctrines of grace currently, messianic prophecy, minus all the dispensational gobbledygook. And another thing that popped in my mind that I thought, and I don't know if this is true for other men, but resources available, a good church library. You won't find the purpose-driven life in that library in my church, but you will find the writings of the early church fathers, a good systematic theology, Calvin's commentaries, all of those things. Contrast that recently, I had attended an evangelical church. In fact, the church I used to attend, it was for with my in-laws. They still go there. The 20 minutes or more of Love for Jesus, contemporary courses, some sermon. I don't remember much, except that it was you still there, Todd?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sermon was, I remember something about the evils of beer, and then at the end I remember something about rooting for me to make it across the goal line. And so it was all that I could do to get through it. Fortunately, we were spared that particular Sunday from having to participate in their distribution of grape juice and oyster crackers. So
interesting experience, Paul, and thank you very much. So Paul can say why yes, and then perhaps by his experience there in the kind of typical evangelical church, he can at least give us a bit of a window into why he wouldn't be going to a church like that. All right, John calls from Afton. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hey, John.
The reason that I feel why men don't go to church more is because they it's pride. They don't want to ask for help, you know?
John, thank you very much. Well, you know, that might be it. But if you look at the number of men who are in therapy, who are going to the gym,
who are going for debt relief, you know, looking at these consumer credit counseling, who are going to refinance their mortgages, all these kind of things. Men don't seem to have a big problem asking for help. Now, directions is a different story, but they don't have a big problem asking for help in other areas of their life. Now, pride is something that keeps anybody away from church. All right. Matt in, this is Matt in West Palm Bay, Florida. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Doing good.
Oh, you know, part of the difference that I've noticed, because I just came out of what we call modern evangelical churches, part of the difference that I notice going to the LCMS church is there's an awful lot of me in the worship. And it starts off with the songs. It sounds like love songs that I'm supposed to sing to Jesus.
Okay. In which church is this?
Well, this is my old church.
It was okay, in your old church. Okay, okay.
Yeah, and they sound sort of like, you know, contemporary adult rock songs that you sing to your wife or your girlfriend. That's what they sound like. And then, of course, the preaching is a lot about me. And the more I listened to that kind of thing, the more it drove me away. I became hard to want to go to church. I liked seeing the people, but the message was heavy. It just literally drove me away.
Matt, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, too. Men, not all men are this way, but I think it's a safe, and I'm not making any statements or casting any aspersions upon women. I'm just talking purely as men. Men like honesty. You ever see a group of men stand around talking to each other, the way they BS each other, and they just do it right to each other's face, and then they slap each other on the back, and maybe they leg wrestle or whatever they do. But men have a tendency to be very upfront, in your face, and that's how men have been. Maybe it's their socialization, maybe it's just in our genes. I don't know. Women tend to be a little more polite. But men like to hear it like it is. They want just the straight dope and without any embellishment. So they get to church on after a hard week, going back to our first caller, and they've been working hard, and they realize that if they've got a problem, especially if they have been able to identify that problem as their sin, and their problem is themselves and their own sinfulness, how is more of me going to help me? Good insight there, Matt. Couple emails from our listeners. This comes from Jason in Durham, North Carolina. He says, I would ask this question. What do churches expect from their people? They expect you to open up your feelings and make Jesus your boyfriend. They gear everything toward feelings, not truth. And I don't need Jesus to be my boyfriend. I have a wife. Steve writes this. It's very simple. Many churches have stopped preaching the gospel and replaced it with moralism. Both liberal and conservative churches preaching moralism. The church is only, quote unquote, successful when the gospel is the center to everything it does. History has proven this out. The experts wouldn't get this point since it's about the cross, which is foolishness to the wise. Well, Good comment there, Steve. Thank you very much. Maybe one of the reasons that men aren't attending church, and we mentioned just a few minutes ago, is because of effeminate preachers. A good example, Joel Osteen. By the way, he just signed a major book deal. Major. The major est. More on this from NBC's Today Show.
Well, he preaches the good book to millions worldwide. Now televangelist Joel Osteen is celebrating a very good book deal. One that's said to be one of the richest in history. NBC's Martin Savage has the story.
Bill Clinton didn't get it. Neither did former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. Not even the Pope, John Paul II. $13 million for a book deal.
God bless you too.
According to Publishing Insiders, that's what televangelist Joel Osteen is getting.
Today is a new day.
The 43-year-old is pastor of a 30,000-member megachurch in Houston.
To get your hopes up.
On any given Sunday, Osteen reaches 225 million people in 140 countries via TV and the Internet.
Well, thank you.
He also wrote the book, Your Best Life Now, which sold over 3 million hardback copies.
He is a self-help guru. I mean, he is Dr. Phil or Oprah or somebody like that. With the reach of somebody like that.
You know, that boy has nowhere to go but up.
Most authors get 15% of royalties. Reportedly, Osteen will get half the profits of his next book. It's a far cry from the late 80s when, thanks to the likes of Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, TV preaching didn't seem to have a prayer.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Nearly two decades later, mega churches and their broadcasts have exploded in popularity. So have the charismatic preachers who lead them.
I want to help people, and I think that Bible principles will help anybody.
Some experts say the Osteen book deal speaks less about the author and volumes about society.
People are always looking for explanations and a better understanding of what is really real, what really counts in people's lives, what ultimately matters.
I know you love the Lord today.
There's no question by telling Americans how to lead a better life, Osteen will certainly be able to live the good life. For today, Martin Savage, NBC News, Atlanta.
All right, aside from the fact that it's a pretty sweet book deal Osteen's got in the works there, it's his second, and when he came out with Your Best Life Now, it was already being hinted at by Thomas Nelson, his publisher, that they were ready to do another book and that they had a lot of confidence in his ability to sell it. So go figure. You've got a guy that Thomas Nelson is willing to bank on, literally bank on this guy. They're not going to lose any money. And it's exactly the message that, at least from the men who've been calling us, exactly the kind of message that is turning them off. We mentioned this before, and it was well over 2 years ago on this program. I just feel compelled to point this out. We were talking about Joel Osteen before many people knew Joel Osteen and said he's the shape of things to come. Things seem to be shaping up in that direction. Let's go back to the phones real quick. We'll talk with Bill, who calls from his car. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Todd.
What's your question or comment, Bill?
Well, I've called before. You probably recognize my voice. I just am a little disappointed that you're beating up on Joel again. He may be effeminate to you, but if you've read his books, he's very Christ-centered. I like what he says. I'm a psychologist, and I think he does integrate some psychology into the gospel, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
Are you talking about his Your Best Life Now book?
Yes, I am.
I've read that book a couple times. Where's Christ in there?
Oh, he's all over, like every page.
really? You know? No, I'm serious, Bill. Here's my email address, okay?
Okay.
Okay, my email address is twilken at kfuo.org. It's twilken.
Right.
Please, page numbers where he talks about Christ, okay? Not just kind of, I think maybe he's being Christian here, but where he talks about Christ, and especially, if you can, any page numbers where he talks about the cross, okay?
Yeah,
I'd really appreciate that, okay?
I'd also like to say, if I could, that the principles he teaches are not anti-biblical. As a matter of fact, I think he's pretty much right on. Now, maybe he comes across as effeminate to you. I think that's kind of judgmental. I don't see him that way. He talks with his Texas accent or whatever, but I think he's a man's man in a lot of ways. I don't see him as effeminate, and I think he's got a lot to say that we need to hear as far as how to live as Christians in today's world.
Bill, I got nothing against Joel Osteen's Texas accent. I used to have one just like it. Just exactly like it. Born and bred down there. No, please email me with the references to Christ in Your Best Life Now. I mean, maybe I just read it too fast the couple times I read it. Is it anti-biblical? Is it anti-scriptural what he's teaching? Look at what he does teach. He teaches essentially, Bill, now I don't know if you realize this, he teaches a very kind of soft core form of the word faith movement, name it and claim it, that your words have power to create blessing in your life. If you doubt me, his dad is one of the progenitors of the word faith movement. Now, I just wonder, would a Mormon or a Muslim or a Jew disagree with the principles taught by Joel Osteen?
If they wouldn't, it's something's a little fishy here. It means what he's teaching isn't distinctly Christian. Let's talk with Florence in Georgetown, California. Hi, Florence. Thanks for waiting.
Okay. Hi. I was thinking before when I was listening to you talk about why men don't want to go to church. And this has been a real thing for me because I have a couple brothers who have remained devoted to worship and going to church, and then a couple brothers have just dropped it and won't have anything to do with it. And I've always wondered, because my dad was such a good example, I thought he was devoted to his faith. And I don't know, that's kind of complicated. I guess each family has its own thing. But something that you said really struck me. You said that you don't find men at scrapbooking parties or at Tupperware parties.
Well, I don't find them there because I'm not usually there either.
I'm not
criticizing
you for saying that at all. Because my husband wouldn't go to something like that either. But I think in a lot of churches, their worship services have become kind of religious Tupperware parties. They're always trying to sell something. You know, the thing is that happens with those parties, has been my experience going to them, women will use relationships sometimes to kind of manipulate people to buy things.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And in some churches, people come in and there's this kind of manipulation going on. They're trying to sell you something. And it isn't even really preaching anymore. It's just a germ of an idea. I don't really have it well developed, but when you said that, it really struck me that I think the thing that keeps men away from many churches is that element that keeps them away from little parties like that. It's this feeling when you walk through the door, they're trying to get something from me, and they're trying to do it in a manipulative way, and I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Florence, thank you so much. Thanks for listening out there in California. All right, let's just flag that one for next week. She goes into the soundbite category. We'll have her up next week for soundbite of the week, without a doubt. Maybe it is just this kind of multi-level marketing sense that people get. I read an article from someone recently, and actually someone who's made a real serious study of megachurches for a long time, a guy from the Hartford Institute, where there's a whole department there at Hartford Seminary, does nothing but study the megachurch phenomenon. And the parallel that was drawn by one of these guys was, this is Amway on Sunday morning. The same, they're not trying to sell you products, but it's the same kind of multi-level marketing thing where you get involved and you get someone else involved, and there's the peer pressure. And I think Florence is on to something. Smartest listeners in radio. When we come back, we'll talk about corned beef with Marty Nolan.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.